This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
The Religious Liberty Report, the second week of July, 2024. Alexander Alfano reporting. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Religious freedom is a founding principle of our nation. Religious freedoms are enshrined in the Constitution. Religious liberty is the first freedom of the United States. First, not just because it's in the First Amendment, but because it's a logical priority. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Non-discrimination is crucial to religious freedom. Equal treatment for all sincerely held religious beliefs. Simply out of the principle that discriminating against any one religion would threaten them all. It's been described as a double-edged sword. Religious freedom is for all of us, or it's for none of us. This is the primary maxim from which we build religious freedom. Religious freedom among varying religions is the beginning and the root of religious freedom. An essential element for religious freedom is that it be equal for all faiths, all sincerely held religious positions. The idea is that if you want freedom for your faith, you must give it to others as well. Indeed, if religious freedom were to apply to some faiths more than others, it would not truly be religious freedom. Rather, it would be a policy for advancing the favored faiths or their social, political, or moral goals. Another basic maxim for religious freedom is that religion should never be used as a cover for bigotry, racism, oppression of others, or for having what the Bible describes as a haughty, arrogant spirit. Religious freedom. Freedom of conscience. Thank you. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the Religious Liberty Report. One of our main goals on the report is to help equip our listeners to better understand and articulate their Christian worldview, but doing so in a way that is courteous, kind, winsome, at the same time bold, uncompromising, committed to God's Word as our guide. Let's pause, brothers and sisters, for some self-assessment. Turning to page 1 of the report, second week of July 2024, the persecution of the church first started in Acts chapter 5. When the apostles responded that we obey God, not men. As persecution confronts the Church of Christ, we must stay faithful to our mission. The Lord will accomplish His purposes and His will through whatever point in history or political movement. Open Doors World Watch List 2024 cited more than 365 million Christians around the world suffering high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. 365 million Christians around the world, our brothers and sisters, persecuted for their faith. Page 2 of the report. On our last report, we covered the history of modern Israel, how the state of Israel came into being. We know that before 1948, just after World War II, Britain took control of the area known as Palestine, following the defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I. So between 1919 and 1948, Britain controlled Palestine. The land was inhabited by a Jewish minority and an Arab majority, as well as other smaller ethnic groups, before 1948. But tensions grew when the international community gave the United Kingdom the task of establishing a national home in Palestine for the Jewish people. In 1917, the Balfour Declaration, a pledge made by then Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour to Britain's Jewish community. The declaration became enshrined in the British Mandate over Palestine and was endorsed by the League of Nations, the forerunner of the United Nations. To Jews, Palestine was their ancestral home, but Palestinian Arabs also claimed the land and opposed the move to create a Jewish homeland. Between 1920s and 1940s, the number of Jews arriving to Palestine grew, with many fleeing from persecution in Europe, especially the Nazi Holocaust of World War II. Violence between Jews and Arabs and against the British mandate in Palestine also increased. In 1947, after World War II, 2 years after, the UN voted for Palestine to be split into separate Jewish and Arab states, with Jerusalem becoming an international city. The plan in 1947 to split Palestine into separate Jewish Arab states was accepted by Jewish leaders, but rejected by the Arab side. In 1948, unable to solve the problem, Britain withdrew from Palestine, and Jewish leaders declared the creation of the State of Israel. Intended to be a safe haven for Jews fleeing persecution, as well as a national homeland for Jews around the world. However, fighting between Jewish and Arab militias intensified. And the day after Israel declared statehood, five Arab countries attacked. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians fled or were forced out of their homes. And by the time the fighting ended in a ceasefire the following year, Israel controlled most of the territory. Jordan occupied land which later became known as the West Bank, and Egypt occupied Gaza. Jerusalem was occupied between Israeli forces in the west and Jordanian forces in the east. Because there was never a formal peace agreement, there were more wars and fighting in the following decades. In 1967, war again engulfed the Holy Land. Israel occupied East Jerusalem and the West Bank, as well as most of the Syrian Golan Heights, Gaza, and the Egyptian Sinai Peninsula. Gaza, a narrow strip of land sandwiched between Israel and the Mediterranean Sea. A short southern border with Egypt. just 41 kilometers or 25 miles long and 10 kilometers wide. It has more than 2 million inhabitants and is one of the most densely populated places on the planet. After the 1948-49 war, Gaza was occupied by Egypt. But after the 1967 war, Israel occupied Gaza and stayed until 2005, when Israel withdrew its troops and many settlers, Jewish settlers, from the Gaza Strip. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Second week of July, 2024. So what are the problems between Israel and the Palestinians? Well, there's the issue of the so-called Palestinian refugees, the so-called Jewish settlements. What to do with Jerusalem? And probably the most complicated of all the issues, whether a Palestinian state should be created alongside Israel. We covered on the last report how Israel-Palestinian peace talks have been held on and off throughout the 1990s and even in the early 21st century, is interspersed with outbreaks of violence, intifadas. The Oslo Peace Accords in 1993, presided over by President Bill Clinton, a historic moment where the Palestinians recognized the State of Israel and Israel recognized its historical enemy, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, as the sole representative of the Palestinian people. A self-governing Palestinian authority was set up. But soon afterwards, the process began to fail. The atmosphere in Israel turned ugly, culminating in the assassination of Israel Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in November of 1995. In the 2000s, efforts were made to revive the peace process, including in 2003, when a roadmap was devised with the goal of a two-state solution. But this has not materialized. Peace efforts finally stalled in 2014. The most recent peace plan, prepared under the administration of Donald Trump, was so-called the deal of the century, but was dismissed by the Palestinians as one-sided, and it never got off the ground. Israel and Gaza at war. Gaza ruled by Hamas, an Islamist group committed to the destruction of Israel, designated a terrorist group by the United Kingdom, the United States, and many countries around the world. Hamas winning the Palestinians' last elections in 2006, seizing control of Gaza the following year, ousting rival Fatah. The Fatah movement continues to govern in the West Bank under President Mahmoud Abbas. Since then, militants in Gaza have fought several wars with Israel. Palestinians in Gaza say that Israel's restrictions and its airstrikes on heavily populated areas amount to collective punishment. This year has been the deadliest on record in Gaza. The Gaza-Israeli War. The U.S., the EU, and other Western countries have all condemned the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. The U.S., Israel's closest ally, has given the Jewish state more than $260 billion in military and economic aid over the last several years, and has promised additional equipment. Two U.S. aircraft carrier strike groups are also in the Eastern Mediterranean, seeking to deter Israel's enemies, particularly Lebanon's Hezbollah movement, from opening a second front in the war. We've all read and heard in the press, in the media, how Israel's being criticized over the scale of the Palestinian death toll. Sharp differences have emerged between the U.S. and Israel over the war. Iran also figures prominently in the exchange, Israel's arch enemy, a key supporter of Hamas, as well as Hezbollah in Lebanon. Iran. Militants from Iran exchanging fire with Israeli forces almost daily since October 7th. Questions have been asked about Iran's role in the Hamas attack. Just this week, it's being reported that the U.S. Department of Justice is interviewing former hostages, Israeli hostages that were held in Gaza, survivors of the October 7th massacre, and relatives of victims. These interviews supposedly to build a case against Hamas and its financial backers. This reported by Bloomberg earlier this week. A U.S. investigation aiming to uncover the financial networks that support Hamas, including those from Iran, Qatar. A source cited by Bloomberg mentioned that the investigation seeks to determine if U.S. financial institutions were involved in the financing of Hamas. And this just in, the U.S. President Joe Biden confirming on Friday afternoon that while more work is needed, Israel and Hamas have agreed on a ceasefire framework which would see the release of hostages. President Joe Biden announcing on X, formerly known as Twitter. 6 weeks ago, he writes, I laid out a comprehensive framework for how to achieve a ceasefire and bring the hostages home, Biden wrote. There's still work to do, and these are complex issues, but that framework is now agreed to by both Israel and Hamas. Breaking news, U.S. President Joe Biden announcing that Israel and Hamas have agreed to a ceasefire and a hostage deal framework. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, second week of July 2024. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report, how close is Iran to having nuclear weapons? As its 2015 nuclear deal with major powers has eroded over the years, Iran has expanded. It has accelerated its nuclear program. So much that reducing the time it would need to build a nuclear bomb if it chose to is surprisingly short. A senior Iranian Revolutionary Guard commander said that Iran could review its nuclear doctrine amid recent Israeli threats. It's not clear exactly what he meant. And that term, nuclear doctrine, generally refers to countries with a nuclear arsenal. The 2015 deal introduced strict limits on Iran's nuclear activities in exchange for the lifting of international sanctions against Iran. The 2015 deal slashed Iran's stock of enriched uranium, leaving it with only a small amount. The United States said at the time that a main goal was to increase the time Iran would need to produce enough fissile material for a nuclear bomb. But in 2018, then-President Donald Trump pulled the United States out of the deal, reimposing sanctions on Tehran. In 2019, Iran started breaching the restrictions on its nuclear activities. Now, Iran continues to enrich uranium and expand its nuclear stockpile. Its stock of enriched uranium, which had been capped at just over 202 kilograms under the 2015 deal, now is calculated at over 5.5 tons. 5.5 tons of enriched uranium in Iran, according to the latest quarterly report by the UN nuclear watchdog that inspects Iran's enrichment plants. Iran is now enriching uranium to up to 60% purity and has enough material enriched to that level that if further enriched would create at least 2 nuclear weapons. All this according to the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency. All this means that Iran's so-called breakout time, the time it would take to produce enough weapons-grade uranium for a bomb, is close to zero, likely a matter of weeks or even days. As a result of Iran ceasing to implement elements of the 2015 deal, the IAEA can no longer fully monitor Iran's production and its inventory of centrifuges, the machines that enrich uranium. The IAEA can no longer conduct snap inspections. And this has prompted speculation about whether Iran has a secret enrichment site. So far, there are no concrete indications that Iran has secret enrichment sites. Aside from the uranium enrichment, there's the question of how long it would take Iran to produce the rest of a nuclear weapon and potentially make it small enough to put it into a delivery system like a ballistic missile, should it choose to. This has been much harder to calculate or estimate. It's less clear how much knowledge Iran has on creating nuclear weapons, weaponizing the enriched uranium. Iran denies ever having a nuclear weapons program. However, Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei has said that if it wanted to, the world's leaders wouldn't be able to stop them. Modern estimates of how long Iran would need for weaponization vary from months to about a year. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report discussing Iran. How close is Iran to having nuclear weapons? In March 2023, the top U.S. military officer at the time, General Mark Milley, testified before Congress that weaponization would take Iran several months. The IAEA reported in February of this year that public statements made in Iran regarding its technical capabilities to produce nuclear weapons only increase the concerns about the correctness and the completeness of Iran's safeguards declarations. Another article here reads, "Will Iran get the bomb in 2024? Amid ongoing tensions in the Middle East and Israeli operations in Gaza, concerns over Iran's nuclear program are once again intensifying. The IAEA reporting late last year that Iran has sped up production of 60% enriched uranium, which is very close to the 90% needed for a nuclear bomb. Some are saying that Iran does not seem to have made the political decision to translate its growing nuclear capability into a weaponization program. But Israel's frequent precision strikes on Iranian interests and assassination of its military commanders have heightened internal debates. Will Iran develop a nuclear bomb in 2024? You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. My name is Alexander Alfano. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Now, a message from a sponsor. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. They want to see you through your journey in education. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life, South Florida Bible College has new programs designed just for you. Introducing their Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, or a Doctor in Ministry. South Florida Bible College, located in Deerfield Beach, Florida. In-person or online courses and programs available. Listed among the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States. South Florida Bible College, providing quality education at an affordable price. Fully accredited and ready to serve you. Visit them online at sfbc.edu. Thank you. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, an inspiration, bringing you this weekly report. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We must not just stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. Here on the Religious Liberty Report, hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture. To better understand and articulate your Christian worldview. The idea is to win hearts and minds and souls, not to win debates or arguments. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Join me on the Religious Liberty Report here on this live and local Christian radio station every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Or if you miss us on the radio, you can catch us via your favorite podcatcher. Just search for the Religious Liberty Report. Brothers and sisters, too often we fail to value a moment in time until it becomes a memory. No matter what you are going through today, don't quit. Do not be defeated. Remember, giving up is not who you are. You may pause, take a long breath, pivot, but then keep going. You can overcome with faith and by God's grace. You can be at peace again soon if you trust in God and you are patient. Thank you, Lord, for the trials and difficulties that we may be walking through now, because these trials, these difficulties, will make us into the people you intend for us to be. Signing off, Alexander Alfano for the Religious Liberty Report. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.